For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis. For Bowling Green's Court Basham, the ongoing investigation into Monday's bombings at the Boston Marathon isn't just a news story. Court is a marathoner who had just completed Monday's event in Boston and was a few blocks away with his mother when the first bomb went off. The WKU instructor spoke to us Wednesday morning about what it was like on Monday, the kinship marathoners have with one another, and whether he wants to ever run the Boston Marathon again.
Well, in hindsight, it was fortunate. I'd been hurt this winter. I hadn't trained that well, so I didn't run race pace. It was essentially a very long, highly glorified long run going to Boston. So I turned it into essentially a vacation trip with my mom. So, but yeah, you're completely depleted. It's a very hilly course, and no matter. So I ran, you know, over 3 hours. So you're out of fuel for one, and that's actually what we were doing, is looking for some restaurants. I was on my phone, looking at restaurants that were near us when the first explosion hit.
And give me your reaction at that point. The first explosion goes off and what?
Well, you try not to overreact. I was trying to think, you know, what that could possibly be. My mind immediately went to the worst. But even someone standing next to us said, that sounds like dynamite on a job site. But it was within seconds that the second one happened. And then at that point, you knew this is bad. Obviously, there's two. And of course, then you start thinking, is there three? Is there four? And then just seconds later, people start pouring around the corner from Boylston. Again, we were one block from Boylston. And then you knew, even though we didn't have line of sight, something terrible was happening. And we just tried to move away from the area as soon as we could.
You were there with your mother at the time.
Yes.
This happened. But I'm just wondering, in a situation like this, what are your instincts when you realize that something bad has happened? There's a lot of my family and friends that know I'm here at the Boston Marathon. What are your instincts as far as like reaching out to people, letting people know, hey, I'm okay? How does that work?
Yeah, fortunately, I was able to get a text to my wife almost immediately. Once it was clear something was bad and we heard these explosions, I texted her. Fortunately, it went through, so I got to her before any news had broken. And then not long after that, in the minutes walking out of the area, trying to get away, texts started pouring in. And then in this modern age of technology, I realized I'm going to need my phone to get out of here if there's no trains. We weren't staying downtown. We were staying a few miles away in Alston with friends. So I'm going to need this tool to get out of here. So I said to my wife, could you post on Facebook, tag me, and tell people we're okay at the moment and we're trying to move out of the area and we'll update when we can, but I'm going to need my phone. And that was kind of what happened in the first few minutes right after.
I can only imagine the dedication that it takes to train for and compete and complete a marathon. So you're one of over 20,000 people that's taking place in this great event. Obviously, you don't know most or many of these people, but I can imagine that there must be a camaraderie you feel with these people that have gone through and trained in the same manner that you have. Can you talk about the sort of kinship you would feel with marathoners in general, and in particular now the Boston Marathon?
It is, in many ways. It is our Super Bowl in a lot of ways. And at some point during that walk, I thought about the woman I sat by on the bus out to Hopkinton, and her having three children, and where was she, and how did that look? Her family was not with her. What was she doing? What was she going through? And you just think through, you know, all the people that I saw that day, talked to that day, what was happening for them. And running is a very democratic sport. You're on the same course. And for me, I started just yards away from the elites, from the winner of that race. And I'm just some guy from Bowling Green, you know, and that's what makes marathoning in general such a fantastic sport, is the participators are on the same course, same condition, same playing field, you might even say, with the very, very best in the world. And that's hard to do in other sports.
Was there a conversation or an encounter you may have had after the explosions at any point with maybe somebody who had been a stranger, a fellow marathoner, somebody in the crowd that sticks out, or that some random encounter you had that you look back on and sort of is meaningful now?
Sure. On the flight back to Nashville, of course, there's, you know, full of marathoners, and I talked to a number of them, one of which was a woman who was at mile 25 point something and got stopped. She actually heard the explosion. She was on Hereford Street, which is right before you turn down Boylston to finish, and that's when it happened. She saw the smoke, essentially, as she was running. She got stopped, and her boyfriend was actually on Boylston and had to be treated, perforated an eardrum. I talked to both of them in the airport. And there were a number of other runners where they were telling stories similar to mine. Most of them were finished. The others I talked to and were moving away from the area, but were close enough. Some saw the explosions, some didn't. But we all had a similar story. We're all still in the area. Even if you're really fast, it takes a while to clear that area. By the time you get through, you get all your stuff. If you do the massage, you probably are meeting people. It takes a long time. So even though the bombs were 4 hours into the race, there's a lot of racers still around.
And of course, these bombs were placed amongst the spectators, people that are family, friends, maybe just people that have a tradition of coming down and cheering on people. And I've heard a lot in the news about from Boston marathoners about what it means to have the crowd there and what a shot in the arm it is to be cheered on by people you maybe don't even know. And I was wondering if you could talk about what it's like to have those people there cheering and to think that, you know, these are basically the people that were targeted.
Yeah, I think more than any other race that I've experienced, at least, Bostonians get it in regards to marathoning. It's not about winning. It's about experiencing limitation, being willing to encounter your limitations. And in my opinion, one reason if people ask me, why do you do this, it's to reach my limits. It's to understand and find your humanity in your limitation. Because we like to talk about you can do anything. You know, that's the American message. You can do anything. You can be anything. And frankly, not to disagree totally, but that's just not true. And in fact, we're at our most human when we find our limitations. And that's a lot about what marathoning's about. And I think the spirit of humanity is found in finding your limits. And people cheer because that is what marathoners do, and many athletes do, is that you look to see, you know, what am I capable of? Not winning, but what am I capable of? And marathoning is a great way to encounter that.
Do you want to run the Boston Marathon next year?
I'm planning to go before since I couldn't race. I planned on going back so I could race, and this has done nothing to change my mind about that. In fact, there are many things about it that makes that even stronger. Consideration is I would like to go back next year, yeah.
That was my next question, really. I know it's just been a matter of days since this took place, but you've come back to Bowling Green. You've had a little while to reflect, I guess. And any thoughts on what the Boston Marathon, I can imagine it already meant a good deal to you. You've already said that. But now that this has happened, any thoughts about moving forward, what the Boston Marathon would mean to you in your life and your memories?
Yeah, I mean, this it was such a great trip before this. And as I said, I wasn't in race mode. So I actually had all of my mental faculties at the end, which is rare at the end of a marathon. So I was able to soak that in a way that I never really had before, and it's incredibly rich. And if I go back and race, I won't be that sharp mentally at the end. But yeah, I don't know. I've run 11 marathons. I like variety. I like trying new races. But Boston is special, and this is my third one. I anticipate, as long as I'm able to run fast enough to qualify, that I will continue to go back regularly, maybe not every year, but regularly. So certainly next year's on the table. I'd planned on it. I don't think this changes anything. I'm very, very close to the event. I'm very, there's a huge range of emotions about that, but right now, but with some space, I certainly on the table, yeah.
Well, Court Basham, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and speak with us.
Thanks, Kevin.
Court Basham is a Bowling Green resident, a marathoner, and an instructor of interdisciplinary studies at WKU. He finished Monday's Boston Marathon and was just a block away with his mother when the explosions went off. Stay tuned to WKU Public Radio for the very latest on the investigation into the Boston bombings. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis.